It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. If asked to identify a giant in American architecture, the name Frank Lloyd Wright may be the first person who comes to mind. This region has the good fortune to be within driving distance of one of his most famous buildings, the iconic Falling Water. Here with suggestions for other Wright-designed buildings not far from Pittsburgh is travel contributor Elaine LaBalme, who tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town. Elaine, always great to see you. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Good to see you, Paul.
Okay, New Girl, the American architect Frank Lloyd Wright, of whom Simon and Garfunkel famously sang, arguably best known for his design of Falling Water in the Laurel Highlands, had many masterpieces, so to speak, a number of them in our region. What can you tell us about them?
You know, we really are charmed to have so many Wright designs in this area. Now, this is a man who was extremely prolific. He designed over 1,000 buildings, structures, I should say, and completed more than 500 of them. And, of course, you know, many would say that Falling Water is the best known. Also relatively close by is the Solomon Guggenheim Museum in New York City, one of his masterworks. He did a lot in the general Northeast and Wisconsin, you know, which is a long day drive, but you can certainly get there in a day and see some of those places. But you know, he also worked internationally, the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo, you know, an iconic property. So, but yet, probably because he was from the relative, you know, Northeast, Midwest, we have a lot of different properties of his that we can look at. And we'll talk about some of those, but that are, you know, within a half a day drive of Pittsburgh. We're very fortunate.
Well, let's go back to Falling Water first. This is the 50th anniversary year, so it's a great year for a first-time visit or even a repeat visit. What should we know before we go?
Well, you know, the timing couldn't be better because it just opened last weekend for the season. It's closed during the winter months. It's open from March to November and then December just on weekends. But this is the home that was designed for Edgar J. Kaufman, the Kaufman Department Store. What you do want to know is that you have to book well in advance. I actually have only been there once. I went in the off season, late September, and we were graced by an early season snow. It was the most magical visit. But there were huge lines on that day. It was a Wednesday, I remember. So you want to book well in advance, and you do obviously want to book one of the tours, and you should plan to spend the day because while your tour could be, you know, 60, 90 minutes, if you sign up for a longer tour, you know, it could be as much as 2 hours. You want to be able to walk around the grounds. And the grounds are open till 4 or 5 in the afternoon, so you really can make a day of it. The guided house tour is a good choice. Something that you want to consider if you're willing to go midday and spend some time around the grounds and whatnot is to take the sunset tour. That's another good one. And then they have a children's tour, so families shouldn't feel like they can't go to Falling Water. I believe the minimum age is 6, and our son was 6 when we went on that visit, and we did take the children's tour. And they did a really sweet thing. They put white gloves on all the kids, and what they told them was that they were special. The parents weren't allowed to touch anything, but the kids could, and the tour guide would say when they were able to touch something gently with their white gloves.
How clever.
I mean, I thought the same thing. That is really good.
But they all must have been, whoever thought of that must have been a child psychologist or something.
Or had a lot of kids who'd broken some things or trashed some things.
Right.
But so it's just the tours are extremely well done, and you know they let you really have the run of the property. It's not like so many tours where there's just a little rope in front of the room and you have to look into the room in front of 25 other people, you know, and see what you can see. You actually get to walk through the rooms. You are in every room in Falling Water. And there aren't that many rooms in the house. The house inside is not that big. You know, it's so much of the terraces and the cantilevered, you know, sections that hang over the creeks and whatnot.
Right.
But just keep in mind, spring and fall, a good time to go. You may have to wait. You'd wait more in the summer and try to set aside a day. A stunning property.
Still thinking about the white glove idea. That's absolutely brilliant.
Yep.
Close by in the Laurel Highlands is Kentuck Knob, another Wright design with a very interesting owner.
Indeed. The house was designed for a couple, Ian and Bernardine Hagen. I'm trying to remember. I know what the – oh, they owned a large dairy in southwestern PA, and they – were friends of the Kaufmans, who introduced them to Frank Lloyd Wright. And then they designed this terrific house for them, Kentuck Knob, which the Hagens lived in for about 30 years and then had another owner and currently is owned by the former Lord Palumbo, now Baron Palumbo, who's a well-known British art collector. And he's actually the current chair of the jury for the Pritzker Prize, which is probably the premier architectural prize in the world. So he's a very sophisticated gentleman. He is long a fan of Wright, was able to buy this house. I think he bought it in the 90s for something like $600,000, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
Sweet deal. And he still lives there part of the year. He spends his time there every summer, and the rest of the year it's open for tours. And it is a gem of a house. I remember taking a tour, and it was late morning, and we went out onto the back porch, and there are these architectural elements on the overhang of the back porch that allow the light to stream in the most incredibly beautiful way. So it's a house I would definitely say visit in the morning. It's just 4 miles from Falling Water. You could do both in the day if you wanted to. And it's at the top of the hill, great views. It doesn't really look like a museum per se, because it really is lived in. Many of the personal effects of the Palumbos art collection and whatnot are in the house because they spend time there every year.
We're talking with our travel contributor, Elaine LaBalme. Unbeknownst to many, Frank Lloyd Wright was quite active as an architect in Buffalo. So there are things that you are a short drive from here that you can see in that area.
Absolutely. And the main building that people think about when they think about his work in Buffalo is the Larkin Administration Building, as it's known. It's no longer standing, but it was the headquarters building of this Larkin company that was big in soap and other things. And the neat thing about that property was that many innovations of the time were pulled into it by Wright. Air conditioning was not common at the time. Stained glass in buildings. The built-in desk furniture, as he so often does with his properties, has the furniture in addition to the house itself. But he also designed homes for a number of the executives of the Larkin Company, the well-known Martin House, the Davidson House. There's probably half a dozen houses in the Buffalo area designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. You can very easily do a self-guided tour of those homes, and it's a terrific half a day.
Don, talk to us about the Graycliff Estate in Buffalo, which overlooks Lake Erie, which sounds amazing.
Oh, this is unbelievable. It is on a bluff overlooking the Eight, built in 1931, I believe, the summer home of Darwin Martin, who was this Larkin Company executive. This gorgeous property, two-story stone, the tall windows. There are three buildings on the property. And again, it also has the cantilevered balconies. And the idea here was that the windows and doors would basically frame the lake view. The lake breezes would come in from the front of the house to the back. I mean, as an architectural piece, it is a gem. You can still take tours of the home.
And no Frank Lloyd Wright tour would be complete without a visit to Taliesin, which is his home and studio in Wisconsin. A little more of a hike, but not terribly far. You could, in the summertime on vacation, you could make this drive, right?
You can absolutely make it in a day. I've gone to Madison, Milwaukee a couple times in a day. In the southern Wisconsin area's home and studio, and granted, what you'd be seeing today is Taliesin 3, as it's known, because Taliesin 1 and 2 both met a very unfortunate end in a fire. The first one, a very notorious fire. It was a fire and murder.
Upon which the opera was based.
Exactly. So it's an interesting story, but there are still many buildings and on the Taliesin property that you can see the home and studio of Frank Lloyd Wright. Some very thoughtful tours that you can take there. So if you want to go full circle on the Frank Lloyd Wright experience, it wouldn't be complete without a visit to Taliesin.
And very quickly, did you mention the Guggenheim in New York?
I did, yes.
Did,
I mean, that's
mention
a fantastic property. Great piece.
Okay, just double checking,
because
we want to make sure people go to see that architectural marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a marvel, Elaine LaBalme. Our travel contributor who tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town. Elaine, thank you so much for being with us.
And you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can check out past segments or anything you missed at our website, WESA.FM. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.